UWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind? Over.
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Mercury 1095. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
County dispatch.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
Let's not take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello and welcome to the show, everyone. I hope you're all doing well. We are starting this episode with Woodrow's voice submission of a recent sighting of a UFO in Georgia. And then we are joined by Ryan from Brooklyn, New York, and Ryan will be sharing 3 UFO sightings that he experienced in New York and North Carolina. But before we hear from our witnesses, I'd like to thank Hella Freya and Bad Sun from the US, and then HLCO from the UK for leaving their 5-star ratings and reviews on Apple Podcasts. It really helps the show out. Now let's move on to our Patreon section. A very big thank you to our newest supporters of the show on Patreon, and they are Wilhelm from France, and then Dustin and Woodrow from the United States. Your support means a lot. If you enjoy the show and you would like to help support the podcast on Patreon, you can do this for as little as $1 a month. Head on over to www.patreon.com/UFO Chronicles Podcast. You can also find a link in the description of this episode below. Any help is very much appreciated. Now, on with the show.
I just wanted to tell you about an experience that I had here in Dallas, Georgia, about 3 or 4 nights ago. It was after I had taken a friend out to eat, and we were leaving the restaurant, and it was dark. It was in the evening time, about 8:15. And we're cruising down the road, and we get to this this neighborhood road where there's not a lot of traffic or light pollution, and we're just kind of cruising, and both of us just looked up to the sky really quick, and we're like, did you see that? And what had happened was, over the tree line off in the distance, we saw this streak, this big wide streak of like this electric blue and white color just shoot across the sky, just really fast, slightly slower than like a bolt of lightning. And she thought it was a comet. And of course me, I've always been into this subject since I was a kid. I'm looking at it, and it's like, no, that I don't think comets just appear and disappear just like that. But it was coming down at an angle, headed towards the Earth, so that led us to believe it's going to crash. She was even saying, like, that's going to hit the Earth somewhere. So we kind of anticipated maybe a light thud or an explosion or something like that, but it didn't. It just kind of disappeared as quickly as it appeared. But it was very, very bright white towards the center. And at the very front of it, because you could tell it was going from left to right down towards the Earth. and it looked like it was slightly spherical and at the very beginning of it as it was headed down, but it had this long tail to it, bright white in the middle, and then just this electric, beautiful blue color shooting out from that, like a blue flame. I don't know if anybody's ever seen the Dragon Ball Z, how they shoot a Kamehameha, how it's got that head to it and it just streaks out. It was kind of like that, or like a fireball from Street Fighter, like that kind of blue and white looking thing. But this thing was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And I'm almost 40 years old now, and I'm still getting goosebumps from it. It was incredible. I've never seen any kind of lightning that wide or that thick have like this blue color like that. And that's just the thing that stands out to me the most, was just this electric radiating blue color that, you know, as soon as you see it, it's gone. It was incredible. But I know it's brief, but, you know, these little small things can be pretty mind-blowing sometimes. But, Nick, I love the podcast, and I appreciate you letting me submit this. So have a good one, and I look forward to the next episode. Bye.
Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Thank you, Nick. I'm really happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you with us today. Now, you come to us from New York.
That's right, Brooklyn, New York.
Great stuff. And you have come on today to share several sightings of strange crafts.
That's correct.
Would you like to start with your first sighting, please, Ryan?
Yes, I would be happy to. Thanks. So my first sighting happened in Brooklyn, New York. My sister was visiting, and I was living with my girlfriend at the time. We had a backyard at this Brooklyn apartment, and we walked out into the backyard. My girlfriend and I happened to look up at the same time, and there were three craft flying in unison, side by side, in the sky, right over the buildings. Our building was a four-story building, so if you can imagine, we're standing in the backyard looking up right over the top of the fourth floor. These three craft, they're about the size of a dime, were flying side by side. Do you know the old there was that cup game that they have in movies, Nick, where they would have inverted cups. There would be three inverted cups, and you put a ball under it, and then you would move the cups around each other. And then it was like a street game, and then like the person, or like a gambling game, and the person would have to guess which cup the ball was in. So that movement of moving those cups around is basically what those craft did. They kind of like did this dance around one another, kind of like an infinity symbol or figure eight, but between three crafts. So they kind of did this fancy footwork, and then they were going at a good pace. They were absolutely not drones. They were going at a really good pace, and their movement super fluid. And they did this dance, you know, this figure eight dance, and then shot off into the horizon. And I just looked at my girlfriend, and she was in the corporate, you know, she worked in the corporate world. Like, she was not into UFO stuff, didn't like talking about aliens or UFO stuff. And I just looked at her, and my sister was on her phone and wasn't really paying attention. But I looked at my girlfriend, and I was like, "You saw that, right?" And she was like, "Yeah, I saw it." I was like, "We just saw three UFOs." And she was just like, "Yeah, you know, I guess so." Like, she didn't know what to say. And my sister was just kind of like, "What?" And like, my sister kind of reacted like she wasn't really interested, or like just went back to her phone. Like, she was too preoccupied. But that was, as far as I can remember, that was my first sighting with her. But yeah, that was the one in Brooklyn. That was the first experience. I don't recall any earlier experiences prior to that I remember. I mean, just to give you a brief background on myself, I was born in Connecticut and lived on a dead end circle. Up to the age of 13, I lived in Connecticut, and then I moved to North Carolina at 13 because of my dad's job. So we moved to North Carolina when I was 13, and I lived in North Carolina up till 2006. And that's when I moved to Brooklyn, New York. And the only past memories I have of, like, the only thing that stands out in my mind that could even be connected to alien or UFO stuff is that I do recall, like, when I was around 16 or 17, I remember I was in my bedroom and I was looking out at the night sky, looking out at the stars, and I was like, "I just want to go home." I remembered having this deep yearning and just like looking at the sky, and thinking, I just want to go home. And I was like standing there, like wishing a spacecraft was to come to my window and like bring me back home, whatever that meant. I didn't even know what that meant. At the time, it didn't seem that weird. I was an imaginative kid. I always did drawing and painting and made art like that, you know, my whole life. I still do to this day. That was the only real, like that was the only peculiar behavior I would link to UFO type stuff. But I remember that very distinctly. But throughout my life, I've had a lot of bizarre experiences. I've seen UFOs. I had a run-in with a Bigfoot while I was camping. I had an out-of-body experience. And to tell you the truth, my out-of-body experience is one of my favorite experiences ever. When I had that, when you leave your body, it's kind of the best feeling in the world. You feel at home. I kept having this feeling of like being at home. I'm at home. You have complete clarity. And you just feel pure love in its purest form. So that's how I know, like, you know, energy, you know, scientists have proven energy is neither created nor destroyed. So that's why, like, I don't really have a fear of death anymore, because I know that I know what it's like to leave your body and be consciousness, the best feeling in the world. So I've had experience with that. And I can talk about that story later if you want. But I've also experienced lots of sleep paralysis. I've had experiences with lots of lucid dreaming. In the dream world, and lucid dreams, the dream world is a lot of fun as well. So yeah, my second experience, I remember this date because I had to pick up my girlfriend at the airport. It was October 2nd, 2016. I was in a little town in North Carolina, and it was only an hour drive. You had to take this highway called Highway 1 North. It's an hour drive. And if you've ever been on highway, for anyone listening that's been on Highway 1 North, it is like a straight road. A straight drive, 70-mile-an-hour highway from this little town that I was in to Raleigh. At the time, I didn't have a car, so I borrowed my stepdad's car. I'm pretty sure her flight was getting in at 10:30, if I remember correctly. It was either 10 or 10:30. I think her flight was getting at 10. Anyway, I left the house around 9 o'clock p.m. And I get on Highway 1 North, and I'm driving. The weather was really nice. I remember I had the windows down. The radio was playing this, whatever radio station I was listening to, it was playing all this amazing alternative music. It was all like great music I used to listen to in the 90s and just felt really good. So this highway, it's a straight highway, and it's lined with pine trees, and the pine trees aren't that tall. Like, I would guesstimate the pine trees are like, I don't know, 25, 30 feet at the most. I don't even think they're 30 feet. I'd say they're around 25 feet tall. In this drive, at a certain point, there's also a nuclear power plant off to the right, which I think is worth noting, because where this power plant is kind of around the area of where I had this sighting. And it's really bizarre in this area. And I've driven down this highway so many times to pick up people at the airport, because in this town in North Carolina is where my parents live. So I've been to this airport and driven it. I could drive this drive with my eyes closed. That's how many times I've done it. But there's this area on Highway 1 North where there's all these no parking signs. Like, it's just kind of I always get a weird vibe when I drive through it. But anyways, I'm in the car. I'm listening to this radio playing all this awesome alternative music. And it's like classic scenario. The radio starts cutting on and off. And I'm like, and the radio is playing totally clear the whole way, you know, and it just starts like kind of fuzzing in and out until it was just static. And I had to turn it off. And I look up ahead straight away. I'm going 70 miles an hour, tree-lined highway. I look straight ahead, and it's a perfectly clear purple night sky speckled with stars. And straight ahead, you can see all the way in the distance where the road, like, you know, it just becomes a hill, but way far in the distance. And there's these two light objects bobbing up and down. Like, as one bobs down, the other one's going up. So the one on the left would go down, the one on the right would go up, and then the one on the left would go up, and then the one on the right would go down. So they were doing this kind of up and down motion. And I'm looking at them, and the first thing I do is I try to identify it. So I'm like, airplane? No. I'm like, helicopter? No. And I'm looking at it as they're bobbing up and down, and they're moving really fluidly. And so my next thought is, I was like, that would be really cool if those are UFOs. And I was like, if those are UFOs, that would be cool if they came closer so I could see them in more detail. At this point, this is where it's really bizarre how I think that there is some kind of like telepathic link with these things sometimes, Because as soon as I had that thought, Nick, the one on the right just started to drop down, and it started to, like, I had the feeling like it was coming towards us, but it was still far away. And then that time, the judging of time where it, like, dropped down with coming towards us was really bizarre, because all of a sudden, because it was far away, but then all of a sudden it felt like it was getting really close. And on this highway, and it's really dark at this time, and on this highway, there's only one other car. There's one car in front of me. I couldn't even tell you the make or model of the car because I was focused on this light in the sky. But as this light is coming towards us, you know, pretty much like starting to, you know, at my 12 o'clock and then starting to come to my 1 o'clock position, as this light is coming towards us, we're slowing down more and more. The car in front of me and myself are slowing down in increments. So we're going 70, then we're going 60, dropping down to 45. The closer this thing comes, the slower we're getting. We're going 35. And then before you know it, this car in front of me and myself are going 5 miles an hour. This thing is at our 1 o'clock position. At this point, it's just a bright light. But the thing about this light was, is you could stare directly at it. It was like really, really bright, but you could look directly at it. You know, at this moment, there's a lot going on. Like, I'm trying to drive a vehicle. It's not my car. I'm going 5 miles an hour. I'm looking at my phone on the dashboard and I'm like, take a video, take a video. But then I'm like trying to drive. My legs are shaking. I'm shaking all over. And it wasn't that I was just scared. I was excited too, but I was shaking like uncontrollably. And I'm trying to like control this vehicle and also watch the vehicle in front of me for what they're going to do. So there's like a lot of moving parts going on in this moment. Like, I want people to understand what I probably should have done. And, you know, is I should have pulled over and just got out of the car, but I didn't. So we're going 5 miles an hour. All of a sudden, this light, it turns to the side. It turns sideways, perpendicular to the road. It just turns sideways. And so now I've got a perfect, this thing is right in front of us, mind you. Like, it's literally like right in front of the car that's right in front of me. Like, it's so close and so low. It's like right above the tree line. This thing, like, I got a perfect view of it. It was incredible. I gave you the drawing of it, but it basically, the way I describe it is, it looked like if you took a shipping container, if you took a shipping, you know how shipping containers have the striations down the sides? It's like if you took a shipping container and you just like stretched it out and then like turned it sideways, that's kind of what this craft looked like. But I'm looking at this thing, I'm shaking, and this thing, it hovers, it goes across the street. It moves across the street like it's underwater. Like, that's the best I can describe the movement. It was super fluid. It flies from our side of the road across to the over the pines on the other side. Just super fluid movement. We, you know, it goes out of sight, and the car in front of me just starts flashing their lights vigorously, like flashing their lights. Like, I was in some kind of like state of shock, so I wasn't like thinking clearly. I don't think, like, I felt like I was in shock. And as I'm, and because a lot of my friends are like, why didn't you pull over and like talk to the people in the car? And it's because like I wasn't thinking clearly. Like, I just exited and like didn't know what to do. And I was a little mad at myself that I didn't video it. So I felt like I was a little in shock as I was exiting. And I was just like, you know, just a little annoyed at myself that I didn't, you know, take a video or anything. You know, that all sounds like it happened, like it took a long time, but it happened like pretty relatively quickly. You know, it was like maybe 20 seconds once the craft had turned sideways and I saw the belly of this thing. But yeah, I mean, it was just like a perfect rectangular shape. The striations of it just had these striations that went down the belly of the craft, like these long lines. And then it had like intermittent lights down the belly of the craft. But yeah, that was basically that encounter.
What size would you say this object was?
Yes, thank you. That's actually a detail I forgot to mention. So this craft was about 2 car lengths wide. And I would say it was like 2.5 to 3 car lengths long. So it wasn't like super huge, but it was big enough to be like, wow, because it was, like I said, like the wildest thing about it was how close it was to us. It was right in front of us. So I got a really good view of it. And yeah, super bizarre. It just looked like solid metal. It just looked like a floating slab of solid metal, like just floated across the highway, like effortlessly. Like it moved like it was like a feather.
Was there any other drivers on the road that were reacting to this in the sky?
No, because the only two cars on the highway was myself and the car in front of me. We were the only two cars on this stretch of highway when this occurred.
I wonder if they saw it as well.
Oh, yeah. The car in front of me definitely saw it. They definitely saw it. Yeah. Because they slowed down. I mean, they slowed down to 5 miles an hour. Like, we were definitely both watching it. The car in front of me and myself, we were both watching.
Very unusual shape. And there wasn't any other distinguishable features.
No sign of propulsion system at all.
What about the actual lights itself? Could you see where they were coming out of, maybe?
It just seemed to be self-illuminated, kind of on the inside. It's almost like it had I-beams down the belly of it, but they were more solid, like an I-beam, like kind of dents in. Instead of it like denting in, it was just kind of like a long rectangular shape, like an I-beam looking thing. But then it seemed like it was lit from like somewhere up inside that I couldn't see. And then it had little circular lights along the bottom of it in intermittent positions.
I mean, UFOs come in all different shapes and sizes. So I'll see if we can look around, see if we can get any very similar sightings of said object.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, that's great. Do you want to move on to the next one, please, Ryan?
Yeah, the third one was, I remember the day because it was December 17th, 2000. I'm pretty sure it was 2018. I was going to drive home from Brooklyn to go to North Carolina for Christmas. I left my apartment at 6 a.m. I was on Highway 278, which is also known as the BQE. I was going 278 west, which is pretty much driving south, even though it's called west. And at about 6:30 a.m., I was in traffic leaving the city. And if anyone that knows 278, there's this part on 278 where you're starting to leave the city. And the buildings, the ends of the buildings kind of end, and then it just becomes sky. So I'm in stopped traffic. It's 6:30 a.m. It's like stopping, but moving slowly and kind of stopping as we're leaving the city. I'm sitting in traffic, and there's something parked in the air about, I would guess, like 3/4 to a mile ahead of me, like straight ahead of me. And I'm just like looking at it, and I'm like, what? And this thing is parked in the air. It's like where the buildings end, it's in the sky area. It's like the buildings end, and then it just becomes sky. And this thing was parked in the sky part, and I'm still far enough away where it just kind of looks like a gray line with a few blinking lights. And it's parked there, like perfectly still. It looks so bizarre. And I just remember looking all around it, like, is it like cell tower? Like, is there a platform being built? But I'm looking for any kind of structure going up to it. And there's nothing. It's just complete sky underneath it. And there's nothing at the back or the front of it. So I'm just seeing this object parked in the sky, which for anyone that's ever seen something like this, it looks really bizarre. I start looking around me in traffic. And everybody just kind of looks, you know, it's early in the morning. Everybody just kind of looks sleepy. And I'm looking around me. No, it doesn't seem like anybody else is looking at this thing. And so as traffic starts slowly moving, I'm like, wow, this thing is just parked right above the road. And I'm about to go under this underpass. But I know as soon as I go under this underpass, when I pop out the other side, this thing is going to be like directly above me. As I get close to the underpass, I go under the underpass. And as I see him about to pop out of the underpass, I lean as far forward as I can over my steering wheel. And I look up through my windshield, look directly up. And they're floating in this haze. It was like this haze of energy. I describe it as like a C-shaped craft. It almost kind of had the body, I don't like using sci-fi references, but it kind of looked like the body of the Millennium Falcon. And the Millennium Falcon kind of has the short stubby points. But if you took those short stubby points and you like extended them out like two forks, it had these two long forks and then space in the middle. It was parked there and it was just like this haze of energy. I'm looking up at this thing and it had blinking lights all over the belly of it. But the distinguishing lights were up the center, like those two forks up the center on the inside of those two forks were these super bright violet purple lights. And those weren't blinking. They were fixed. They were kind of maybe like pulsating, but like they were like a fixed violet purple. But it was just in this haze of energy, like, I don't know, you know, some kind of circulating energy around this craft in the sky. And I'm in between like concrete walls, you know, so that I can't pull over anywhere. So I'm like looking up through my windshield and I'm trying to like, you know, keep my eye on where I am because I'm on a highway. And this highway pull, anyone that knows this area, like you basically, pull onto this straightaway of highway that goes, it's like this wasteland between New York and New Jersey. And I'm on this straightaway and I look off and to my left, these three lights to my left zoom up next to my car, like three of them. And then they just like shoot past, like down the straightaway of the highway, and just disappear. It was pretty brief, but and super wild. The belly of the craft looked very intricate. Like there were lots of like little parts, and it kind of looked more like the belly of the Millennium Falcon a little bit. Like it had lots of parts. Like just looked very mechanical. It wasn't as streamlined as like the previous two craft I described that were very polished and very smooth. This craft seemed to be a little bit more, I don't know, like it just had all these like mechanical features on it. But yeah, that was that sighting.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
To our listeners, Ryan has made some drawings for reference to his sightings. Click on the link in the description of this episode and it will take you to our website. This one is an unusual shape. It is kind of like I've got the picture in front of me. It's a little bit like teardrop shape mixed with like a vice, I suppose.
Yeah.
But definitely like the Millennium Falcon. Yeah, it's an unusual shape. And you said the lights were violet color.
Super, super bright violet purple, yeah, on the insides of the forks.
And this drawing is from underneath, the perspective of being underneath it.
Yes, correct. Yep, exactly. Directly under it.
Could you actually make out any color of the craft?
The craft was definitely more of a grayish, light gray color. And it had lots of different colored lights on the belly of it. I mean, it like other than the purple lights, it had like blue, red, green. Like it had all different colored lights blinking on it, white blinking lights. It was really intricate.
Have you tried looking in to see if there was anyone else that's seen this object at that time?
Yes, I did later on, like whenever I got to North Carolina, I did go online and look up the date and to see if anybody else had written about the sighting or talked about it. And I didn't come across anything. I didn't see anything about it. But the thing that was wild to me is just like, it's the busy traffic in New York City. I'm just like, I was like, this is bananas. I was like, how is nobody else seeing this or reacting to it? It was so blatant. Like it was like, and it wasn't that high up. I don't think I talked about that part. It was maybe 20 stories high. It seemed maybe lower than that. It could have been anywhere between like 15 to 20 stories high. It was parked relatively low.
I suppose early morning traffic, and if someone hasn't had their coffee, you know, I'm the same. If I don't get coffee in the morning, I'm just ignorant to everything.
That's what it seemed like. It just like I looked at everyone around me, they just kind of had like droopy faces, just kind of like, oh, stuck in New York traffic. Like it didn't, like, there wasn't any, like, I don't know. I should have rolled down my window and just been like, hey, man, do you see that? Am I able to see it? Like, I should have, but I was just like amazed. I was like, it's just wild. These things happen in New York with all these people that can see it.
It could be just like, oh yeah, this is New York City. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly. Just another weird thing happened, weird event in New York for sure.
Normal for New York.
Exactly. But yeah, so I guess the fourth sighting I had was, The interesting thing about the fourth one that I had was that for me, it links the military to some of these craft anyway. Definitely, it links the military and that they have a connection and utilize this technology to some degree. Because this next sighting, I was at Wilmington Beach. Every year, my dad rents a beach house in Wilmington, and we were in Wilmington, North Carolina. And if you look on a map, Fort Lejeune is like an hour north of this area where I was. And I had been seeing, prior to the sighting, I'd been seeing Apache helicopters. I'd been seeing military vehicles flying around in that area. We were on the beach for a few days. And the house that I was on was right on the beach. You could walk down the boardwalk. It was like a walk down a walkway and then you're on the beach. So it was right there. So this experience took place. It was around 10 o'clock at night, 10 p.m., 10:30, somewhere in that area. I was sitting on the back deck. I hear a helicopter coming down the beach. And it's a moon. The moon is out. It's a really bright moon. I don't think it was a full moon, but it was almost, it was a really bright, there's a little bit of clouds, but just a really bright moon, like straight back for me. If you can see the horizon line of the ocean, like the moon, the moon was back there, like pretty low. So I'm sitting on this back deck, just kind of staring at the stars, looking at the sky. And I hear this helicopter coming down the coastline. So it gets my attention. And as this helicopter starts getting closer, I see this huge, and it's, again, flying really low. I would estimate, 30 feet up, super low to the ground. There's this huge black diamond-shaped craft that is completely like a matte black. All of the lights were turned off on it, floating by. And right behind it, I had to look this up, but it was a double-prop military helicopter. And I looked it up online. I had to look this up online, but it's a CH-47 Chinook military helicopter. It's a double prop helicopter. It looks like some kind of big cargo helicopter, and this helicopter's flying right. It looked like it was escorting it, as silly as that sounds. Like it was flying right behind it, but they kind of just looked like this small convoy flying together for whatever reason. So that passes by, and like I said, the diamond shaped craft, no sign of propulsion system. It's like a if you're looking at a diamond, so the point is pointing to the ground. And then the other point is pointing directly up into the sky. That's how it was flying. And then the other point was pointing forward. And the fourth point was pointing towards the helicopter straight back. So it was flying in this like perfect diamond shape. It was completely blacked out. No lights were on it at all. But you could see it. The moon just like lit it up like perfectly. And it comes by. They fly by. And I hear, and as I'm hearing the helicopter sound fading out in the distance, I hear another helicopter coming to my left again, and coming up the beach not too long after is another, the exact same formation of the one that I just saw, the exact same convoy. It's a blacked out diamond shape with another CH-47 Chinook style double prop helicopter flying directly behind it. And it went by just the same as the first one. It was like there were two convoys of the exact same formation that flew by. And the importance or the significance of that sighting for me was that it just links our military to this high technology, without a doubt in my mind. And I'm sure other people have had experiences to lead them to think that. And saying that, it reminds me of, I remember my mother had a party one night. There was a woman at this party and we got to talking, and her girlfriend was a police officer. And anyway, I was talking to this woman, I was talking to her partner, and I asked her what she did. I was like, oh, what do you do? Blah, blah, blah. Or somehow it came up that she worked at Holloman Air Force Base. I was feeling my oats. I had seen UFO stuff, and I'd heard stories about Holloman Air Force Base. So I was kind of, I was feeling a little frisky or whatever. And I was just kind of like, have you ever seen any UFO stuff? And without skipping a beat, she was just like, oh yeah. She's like, I was actually the person in charge. I was the person in charge for ordering parts for those kinds of vehicles. And I was really taken aback because I couldn't believe that she could just say that to me. And I was just kind of like, and I was looking at her like, are you messing with me? Like, I didn't know if she was teasing me or that, but I was like, I just kept eye contact with her. And she was like, really? It's like, and I was just like, how can you say that? It just seems like that would be secret. And like, how can you say it to me? And she's like, well, playing with this technology for a while, it just doesn't seem like much of a secret to me. And I was just like, okay. And then her partner, who was a police officer, was like, I think she was a police officer in Detroit. She was like, yeah, I would be out on the beat at night all the time. And like, I would see UFOs all the time. It's like, I've had plenty of sightings too. So that sighting that I had on the beach linked with, you know, talking to that woman who had actually worked at a military base, who had ordered parts for these things, as she said, I was just like, okay, so obviously the military has been playing with this technology for a while. So Fort Lejeune is an hour north of where I was on the beach. And so where I was sitting on the deck staring out at the night sky, they actually were coming from that direction too. They were coming from my left side, which was north. So they were actually flying from that direction. So one could easily, you know, make the link that, like, you know, they could potentially have been flying from that base. I can't say for sure. I'm just speculating, but there's a good chance that, you know, they could have been flying from that base because that base was only an hour away.
And we were talking before we went live tonight about the sighting in Scotland in 1991, and it's very similar.
Right. Yeah. Same shape for sure. The thing, it seemed like from what I saw, like the drawing, or you were telling me the rendering of that sighting, the only thing that seemed different is that sighting, it looked like it was in daylight and they had a lot of definition. The diamond-shaped craft that I saw, it was completely matte black. It was so flat. You couldn't see any definition to it at all. It was almost like seeing, like, you know, a flat sheet of construction paper flying in front. You know what I mean? Like, there was no definition to it at all. Completely blacked out.
And, of course, the similarities are that was also being escorted the same as your object was being escorted by these Chinook helicopters.
Yeah. Oh, because you're saying because the airplane behind it, the one in Scotland, or the jet?
Yeah, not just that. Also, the actual shape of the object is very similar. Diamond, of that diamond shape.
Yes. Yeah.
You didn't say in your email, but yeah, you have a Sasquatch encounter.
Yes. That was in the summer of, let me see, I think that was 2019, around that time or that area. So at this time, I didn't have a car, and it was the summertime. I'm in New York. And for people that know, like, if you're in the city, like I grew up in, like I said earlier, I grew up in North Carolina. So I grew up doing a lot of camping and hiking and that sort of thing. So I really, even though I live in the city and I sound like a city kid, I love the outdoors. I love camping. I like to be in the woods. I like to be cut off. I enjoy spending time by myself. So I got the idea. I'm like, I'm just going to go spend a week in the woods by myself with my dog. And I was like, I don't care how I get there. And so what I did was I have this bike and I have panniers, which are like the little bags that go on the back of a bike. And I hooked a basket up to the front of my bike. And I know it looked absolutely ridiculous. But what I did was I have a little 20-pound terrier mix. So I put her in the basket. I put all of my camping gear on my bike, and I biked to Grand Central Station. And I know I looked completely absurd. I had my dog and all my gear on my bike. I biked to Grand Central Station, and then I took the Metro North about 2 hours north to this stop called the Wassaic stop in upstate New York. I get out of the train station there, and my plan is to bike 10 miles east, and I'm going to this nature preserve. It's like 2,800 acres of just forest. And so I bike, you know, I spend, you know, a part of the day biking this 10 miles. It was grueling 10 miles because my bike was so heavy and the hills were like straight up. So it was a feat to get to this campground. I finally get there. And then, of course, as soon as I'm biking in, there's signs that like say no pets for some reason. I'm just like, you got to be kidding me. I'm like, no pets. I was like, this is like the middle of the woods. And so I see this woman walking her dogs, and she's got a couple of labs. And I stopped to talk to her because I'm like, what's with these? You know, and I'm like, what's with these no pets? Is that? I was like, you have dogs. Like, is that for real? And she's just like, oh, don't. She's like, ignore that. She's like, I've been coming here forever. Like, don't worry about it. But there's like some kind of, there's a little bit of foreshadowing here because she's like, yeah, I don't really get it. Like, she's like, she was chatting it up with me for a minute. And she's like, I don't really get it because this is a really beautiful park, but nobody, she's like, not a lot of people come here or take advantage of it. And so just like, oh, okay. I bike, I find a little bit of a clearing under a canopy of trees. And I set up my camp, and it's the summertime. It's super green, super lush. At this camp, it's like raining caterpillars everywhere. You can't even take a step without, you know, trying not to step on. I mean, caterpillars were everywhere. the first day I set up my camp, you know, there's a creek running by this camp where I can filter water. So I have water supply, have all my food. I set up my camp. At this time I was drinking coffee. I had forgot to bring coffee. So I started and I left so early in the morning. I hadn't drank any coffee. So I'm laid out for the whole day with like the worst caffeine headache ever. Like I just had a really bad caffeine headache and I was just laying there and I knew I just had to sit it out. So my first day there, I basically spent laying on the ground. And then the next few days I would just hike every day. I'd spend the days hiking. There was one day with rain. Other than that, the weather was beautiful. That's what I did every day. I'd just wake up, I'd take my dog, we'd go hiking. On like the second day, I went on this really long hike. I got to this point where, you know, it was about 3 or 4 in the afternoon. We had been hiking all day. And I got to this part on the trail where there was like a 3-inch tree that had been like snapped down about my head height. And it had been like twisted around it. And that was to my left. And then I look up and then like another few feet ahead, there was another one on the right side of the path. It was like a sapling, but a pretty thick sapling, like 3 inches. And it was broke in around the same area and it was twisted around. And they just kind of like looked like marks because they were green. Like it was like a fresh break, like something had like snapped these trees like in half. And I was just kind of like, they were like very clean breaks. Like it was like a recent break. And I was just like, that's weird because there wasn't any other trees like broken off like that. And I also got this weird vibe in this area. Like I kind of felt like I was like in a territory, like I was getting this like this overwhelming feeling like I should turn around and or feeling like I was being watched. And I'm normally very comfortable in the woods. Like I don't get those feelings just for no reason. So I kind of just looked at my dog and I'm like, I think we should just turn around here. You know, it was already late in the day and it was going to take me like 3 or 4 hours to get back. We were out in the middle of the woods in the middle of nowhere. And I just decided to turn around for that day. Like I said, it was like around 3:30 or 4, go back to my camp. At about midnight, I wake up, I get back to my camp, make dinner, do the whole thing, bathe in the creek, you know, make my dinner. And I'm doing low profile camping. So I'm using a whisper light stove. I'm making my meals on like, you know, I'm not having any fires. So I'm going to sleep basically when it gets dark because I'm hiking all day and I'm tired. So I'm just going right to sleep. So at around midnight or 12:30-ish, I wake up. And Nick, when I tell you like the forest and where I was camping was alive, it was the middle of summer. The forest, like the crickets, the birds, whatever was out at night, like it was deafening. It was a cacophony of forest sounds. Like it was so loud, but it was, you know, it's like that kind of like nature sound. Like it's so loud, but it's relaxing because it just feels right. Like but it was really loud. So at about 12 or 12:30, I wake up all of a sudden and I hear footsteps coming into my camp. And I'm like, oh, I was like, I think there was a couple of campers, but they were like way further up than me. But I'm like, oh, maybe it's just like one of those other campers like coming into my camp. Like that was my initial thought. But then the forest it was like someone hit a light switch and the forest goes dead silent, like completely silent. It was like someone hit a light switch and like the forest was completely turned off. There was no sound. It was completely silent. And I hear these footsteps approaching my tent. My dog, who, if she hears anybody coming into the area or hears a person like walking down the hallway, she's barking her head off. So like, she's like a little dog. She goes she goes crazy when there's like, she starts barking her head off. And my dog is laying under my arm and I look down at her and she's shaking like a leaf, man. Like she's shivering head to toe, like her whole body's convulsing and shaking. And I'm looking at her. And then that kind of freaks me out because I'm like, normally she'd be barking like crazy. And so, and she's not, she's like whimpering and shaking. And so these footsteps come in. This thing is standing really close to my tent. I hear it. I can hear it breathing, Nick. And when I tell you the set of lungs, this thing was like, it was like listening to a pair of lungs in a 55-gallon drum. I have never heard a set of lungs, like you could feel this thing breathing. That's how big these lungs were. It wasn't low to the ground. The lungs were like higher up in the air. I'm just laying there and I'm shaking now. And I'm so, I've never been this scared in my life, ever, ever, ever. I was shaking like my dog now. And I was like uncontrollably shaking. And I had this moment where it was kind of profound in a way, because I had this moment where I was like, you know what? I was like, I think what I did was I asked for protection. I was like, God, I was like, please put like a force field around this paper thin tent. I was like, a force field, anything to protect me. I was just asking, I was talking to like the sky. I was like, anything. I was like, please. I was like picturing a force field around my tent. I was anything that I could consciously think of for protection, because I was so vulnerable. But I had this really beautiful moment where I just surrendered. Like I completely surrendered. I was just like, I was so scared and so freaked out that I was like, you know what? What's the worst going to happen? I die and I leave my body. Like, I don't even care right now. Like, I didn't care. I completely surrendered to the fear. And it was great. Like, it felt good. I was just like, I gave into it. And this thing just goes. It like had these outbreaths, these super, super deep. Like, I can't even go as deep as the sound this thing made. But it made these gorilla sounding outbreaths. But the thing was that it when it breathed out, it like pulled the breath back in like a gorilla. Like it was like a whoo, whoo. Like it was like pulling the air in. Like when it would breathe it out, it pulled the air back in. It made these sounds. And then on a dime, it turned and I heard it start to run off. And it, as it left the camp. And the interesting thing was, Nick, after I surrendered, like I was telling you, to this fear, I actually, as I was laying there, I didn't feel threatened by its presence. Once I actually like was feeling it out, I didn't feel threatened by whatever this thing was after a while. I felt like it was coming into my camp to check me out. And that, like, I didn't feel like an aggressive vibe from it, even though I wasn't seeing it. And it turned. And it runs out of my camp, and all like a Doppler effect. I just hear, and I hear that like a Doppler effect. It just dissipated to nothing. And then this thing, whatever this thing was, it made call. It made the worst. I had been there for 3 days at this point. Like I had heard owls. I'd been listening to owls. I know what owls sound like. They're very crisp owl sounds. I'm like, oh, it's an owl. This thing. After it ran out of my camp, I heard it make the worst imitation of an owl sound you've ever heard in your life. It sounded like, I don't even know how to describe it, but it was a bad, like it was like someone impersonating an owl sound, but not very good at it. And that was one in one voice set. And then across the valley, across the line, I hear another one make the same bad owl sound back at this thing. Like it was calling out to another thing across the valley. And the other one with a different sounding voice mimicked an owl sound back to it. And whatever that communication means, whether they were just playing around, I don't know. But if that's not weird enough, this actually gets super weirder. So I'm laying there, Nick, and I'm like, I kind of feel okay. Like I said, I didn't feel threatened. I felt like it left my camp. So I'm like, okay, like it just came in to check out the camp. I still couldn't get out of my tent. I was so I was like alarmed enough to where I just kind of like laid there for a second. And as I'm laying there, this orb shape, like the size of like, oh man, like the size of a baseball, this orb, which started to make this in this very light lemony yellow color, almost like it was like a yin yang swirl, but without the dots of a yin yang. It started to make this swirl and this light, the orb above my tent, and I'm like looking at it, and I'm like, it was at first it was outside of my tent, and then it came into my tent at the roof line, and I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like, oh wow, I was like, that's not in my mind, like I'm seeing this is crazy. And this light orb is floating above my head, and then to the right of this orb shape, a flashcard size, almost like, you know, in those like futuristic movies when like a screen flashes in front of people and they can like touch the air and there's a screen there. Index card size screen just like pops up next to this orb, and it shows me a UFO shaped looking thing, and it moves down into this black dot directly under it, and it just goes into this black dot, and then both of them just like they just flash out. And then in my mind, it just says, you just received a download. And now I have never, with all my experiences with like seeing UFO stuff. I've never had that thought in my life. And I had never heard, that phrase at ever, like up to this point. Like I'd never heard people talk about that in an interview. I'd never read that in books. But in my mind, it was as clear as day, like a telepathic message that just said, you received the download. I did not know what it meant. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, where did that come from? Like, what, like, I just received a download. What does that mean? Like, I don't know. I have no idea what that means, but it was very clear. And so I was just like, okay, that was that night.
Telepath is a weekly digital newsletter filled with the latest paranormal news, trending topics, and fresh articles from some of the most popular critical thinkers in the community today. Stay informed on your favorite paranormal podcasts and live streaming talk shows. Interact with the Telepath and upload your paranormal story or pics. It could be featured in an upcoming edition. Sign up right now for the free Telepath newsletter at paranormal.radio. That's paranormal.radio.
Exciting, wild thing that happened that night was a raccoon raiding my dog's food. And I heard it. And then what scared me, Nick, at first, dog's food, like I was feeling lazy before I went to bed. I just stuffed it under my my rain fly. And a raccoon, I heard the food bag. I mean, after all this crazy stuff happened, I kid you not, I hear a hand grab the food bag and pull it out from under my tent. And I'm like, good Lord. I'm like, the thing is back. I'm like, it's back. I'm like, no way. I didn't even hear it coming up to my tent. And then I hear it rifling through the bag. I hear it eating like with these little mouth sounds. I'm like, oh, it's got to be a raccoon. But I woke up in the morning. I finally got out of my tent. The food bag, my dog's food bag was ripped open, and my bread, the raccoon had raided my bread bag, had scattered it all over. And then I heard it drinking water for like 20 minutes. And I was like, I know why that little thing was thirsty, because it just ate like a huge amount of dog food and a bunch of bread. But yeah, that morning when I woke up, I was pretty shook up, and I was supposed to stay for like another 2 days, but I biked out of there. And that was the other thing with that encounter, Nick, is like, I had no way of leaving that night. Like I had my bike, and I biked into this nature park 10, 11 miles away from the train station. Like I couldn't leave. Like I was like real vulnerable, like in my camp there. So, but that morning I couldn't stay there another night, even though, like I said, eventually I didn't feel threatened by it. I there was no way I was staying there another night after that. But yeah, that was the Bigfoot encounter.
Interesting stuff. And was that the last time you've been back?
Yes, I've been talking to a couple of friends that were interested in that topic, and they wanted to go there. And, you know, honestly, I drove there one night. I drove up there one night. I drove back to that park. At this point, I have a car. So I did drive back there, and I planned to stay there. But the park was closed because of COVID. And I was like, you know what? I'll stay here anyway. Like, I kind of had this attitude about it. I was like, whatever. It's like the woods. There's nobody comes to this campground. Like, I'm just going to stay out here. And as I thought about sitting at my camp, I was like, you know what? It's a little too soon. I was like, I don't know if I want to sleep out here with these things again. And I one night was good for me. Like I ended up leaving there. So yeah, I did drive back there once and thought about camping there. But I was like, it's a little too soon. I was like, I don't know if I'm interested in meeting Bigfoot yet face to face, you know? So yeah, I left it because I know those things are there. I know they're there, like without a doubt. So I knew there was a really good chance of me having another run-in with these things again. So yeah, but I didn't stay there another night.
Well, if you ever go back, let us know. Give us an update.
Okay, I will. Yeah, maybe the next time I go up there, I'll do a day hike, and we'll see. That might be good enough for me for right now. But there's no doubt in my mind they're out there now. You know, they're around. Like whatever they are, they're out there. And you know, there's nothing in nature that mimics owls and like has a lung capacity like those things do, and then makes the whole forest go quiet. Like that's super eerie. And you know, it's easy for someone to sit on the other line and listen to that experience, but when you're out in the middle of the woods in pitch black and there's no way of leaving, and like something like that walks into your camp, like even though like I can sit here and say, yeah, I surrendered to fear that night, it's still a lot. You know, it's still like
it's going to take a lot for me to go back out there and stay the night again, you know.
I mean, basically, all that was between you was the fabric of the tent.
Exactly. Oh, yeah, I knew. I'm like, you know, I'm either a meal or this thing's cool with me. It's not, you know, there's no middle ground. Like, you're just like a sitting duck. But I've heard of people having bad experiences. But like I said, like, I really felt like once I calmed myself down and, like, curbed my fear somewhat, it didn't feel threatening. Like, I was like, oh, this thing's just kind of like checking me out. That's what it felt like to me intuitively.
You didn't have a sidearm with you or anything for protection?
The only thing I had was like a military K-bar knife, which is like a 10-inch blade at the most, or 8-inch blade. That was the only thing I had. I had that and a hatchet. That was about it.
Okay.
But I was not even reaching for those or thinking about those. I was like, that's not going to do anything.
Exactly. Obviously, if they found you threatening, then it could have been a very, very different situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Quite often the case when you mention about they were doing a call, they tend to live in family, small family groups. So it's more than likely there was more than one around you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there definitely was more than one. There was at least two. And there could have been, you know, like you said, they come in family groups. So there could have been more than two. But I felt like I was only hearing two.
And people often say that how can these things not be seen more often? But the great outdoors, you know, your national parks over in the US, there are some big, wide expanses of land.
Absolutely.
So it's very, yep, very easy. Very easy to stay hidden for all this time and only be seen now and again.
Yep, for sure.
I'm envious. I would always, since I was a kid, I've always wanted to see a Bigfoot.
Well, I think that I'm sure you have them in England in their forested area somewhere.
Well, to be honest with you, we haven't really got too many big forests left.
No.
You know, up in Scotland, you know, there's a lot more forests, but not so much in England anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah. If you ever come to the States, hit me up, because I know at least one spot where they are.
If I'm ever in the area, I'll definitely take you up on that. Would we have to bike, though?
No, I have a car now.
Okay, and you've also had an out-of-body experience.
Yeah. Yeah, so this happened, I was either the summer of 2018 or 2019. This is probably one of my favorite experiences. It was like the afternoon. I had laid down. I had planned on taking a nap. It was almost like I went from like a, it started from like a daydream, almost kind of going into a nap, but it wasn't either. All of a sudden I'm underwater and I'm not in my body and I'm just kind of swimming through this water and I just keep going down and plummeting down. And like a month prior to this, I was at a friend's house in the mountains and we had gone to a lake and we're going off rope swings into a lake. And it felt like it was this same kind of water that I was in as when I was at this lake. But I kept going down in this body of water and I had the realization, I was like, man, I'm not in my body anymore. I was like, this feels amazing. I felt I had completely shed my body. I definitely was just my consciousness. It is the most freeing feeling that I've ever had. I felt completely at home. I just felt like pure loving energy, just felt a clarity that I've never experienced before. Just complete clarity, like very, very clear. And it just felt good to be outside of the body. And I was swimming down, I was going down this water. And then I was like, I'm going to go surface. So I like started to surface. And the wild thing is that as I started to surface, as I got to the surface of this body of water, my consciousness popped up. And my mattress was on the floor in my bedroom. I popped up underneath my mattress and like kind of skirted I popped up under it and I knew I was under my mattress and I skirted to the right side of it. And I was halfway in the floor. And I just remembered looking up from that point of view of the floor to like the left corner of the room. And I just remember thinking, like, this is a weird perspective. I've never seen my room from this perspective because my consciousness was like floor level and just looking up in the corner of my room. And then I got this like overwhelming, like I started to think about being out of my body too much. I started to really like think about it. And I was like, this is so wild that I'm outside my body right now. And as soon as I started to think about it too much, my body just kind of like flew up and it got even, you know, I got even with where I guess my physical body was on the bed and it laid right down into my body. And it felt like I sunk into the mattress, almost like a cartoon. And then it just like popped me up on top of the mattress and I was back in my body. And I was just like, it was an awesome feeling. but it felt like I was very lucid. And when I popped into my body and it like popped me back to the top of my mattress, I like had my eyes, it was like my eyes were still open. But yeah, that was my one out of body experience that I remember. That's why I think like there's people like Ram Dass have said things like, you know, he would have conversations with a being and the being had told him, Ram Dass, don't worry, death is perfectly safe. You know, it kind of makes me think of things like that. And like, and Ram Dass was like, I would never put those two words together, death, safety, but yeah, okay. You know, like it makes me think about things like, you know, energy is neither created or destroyed, you know, like it's like, and actually it's probably quite the opposite. I think when we leave our body, we probably will feel more at home than when we're in a physical body, which seems to be like a more heavier kind of energy. Anyways, it's just it's uplifting and like good. It's a good thing to know or feel, you know, and know what that feels like. I think it's very informative, very similar to like, you know, we talked briefly about like people that have had NDEs or near death experiences. Like I can imagine that it's kind of like a similar feeling. You feel connected to everything. You feel like at oneness with the whole universe. You don't feel separate from anything. That's what the feeling is. It's just complete clarity. You're like, oh, I'm just everything. I'm part of everything. And it's just this feeling of complete love, and there's no lack or weirdness about anything. You're just like, oh, I exist and this is what I am. But that's basically what it feels like.
Yeah, I agree with you, especially when you're out of your body vessel, I guess, you know.
Yeah.
And you are connected with everything.
Yeah.
Everything else.
That's exactly how it feels. I feel like when you've had these experiences, there's a little bit of, I don't know, I think there's a responsibility to like share the information. Like I don't want to keep this stuff to myself because people need to know that this stuff is happening, you know, and like people need to pull their heads out of the sand, you know. You can't, people that don't are skeptics or are not like open to hearing this stuff, like you can only keep your head in the sand for so long. You know, I've heard it described that like, you know, our world is going from like a cop show to a sci-fi show pretty quickly. You know what I mean? Like it's already happening. And I kind of like that analogy. It's very true. Like the sci-fi technology and all of it is coming to light. You know, it's slowly happening.
Exactly. And it's quite often the case with skeptics, you know, that they've never experienced anything. And really, you know, just because you haven't experienced something does not mean it doesn't happen.
Absolutely. And Nick, to be honest, like if I heard someone telling me this, you know, the experiences I told, like, I would be like, what? Like, if I was a skeptic, I'd be like, no way. Like, I would have a hard time believing it. Like when my first UFO sighting wasn't too, like, I wasn't that like freaked out. It was because it was far away. I was with my girlfriend and my sister. Like, but the second one, when it was like so close and so low, when you have those experiences and like no one to talk to, it's just like, it's weird. It's like, I felt like a crazy person for a little while. You're like seeing, you know, and I know you've heard this a thousand times. You're seeing something that you're not, you know, isn't supposed to be real or exist, but it's so jarring, you know? And like, even with the Bigfoot thing, like I only had maybe like one friend I could talk to about all of that stuff that would actually listen to me and be like, yeah, man, I believe you, you know, like not like laugh in my face. Otherwise, like I was looking up like anybody that I could talk to be like, can you tell me what any of this means? You know, or like a rough idea. Like I didn't talk about this, but, you know, when I had that Bigfoot experience, that download and that all of that like orb stuff, I actually called a woman who was, I think her title was psychic healer, and she was really expensive. I saw her in an interview, and like, so this is how much like I needed to talk to somebody, Nick, because I didn't have anyone to, or even glean any kind of information. I was like, I feel like a psychic is like the only person that could maybe, a real one, you know, that has those abilities could like even give me any kind of glimmer of an idea of what is going on. And so aside from reading tons of books on the subject, you know, I spent 2 or 3 years just reading nothing but UFO books to like try to learn stuff. But when I called her, she used what she would call as like guides that would like give her information. And when I asked her, I said, can you like tell me anything about this UFO, like, or not UFO, sorry, it was part UFO, but the Bigfoot experience and the camping trip was like in my mind at that time. And I was like, can you give me any information as to like what any of that is? Does that mean anything? Like, what is, I received a download? Like, I really want to know what I received a download. Like, what does that mean? From what she told me, like, I don't know. I feel like she's legit. Like the woman I was speaking with, I felt like she was legit. Like, I had done my research, looked for somebody that I saw her in interviews, was very impressed by her. I felt like, you know, her information could be good. But her interpretation of that night, she said, this is what she told me, and, you know, take it for what it is. But she was like, well, basically what my guides are telling me was that you set up a camp that was on some kind of like migration path, if you will. She was like, you were on some kind of like my, this is what my guides are telling me. You were on some kind of migration path of these Bigfoot things. She's like, so like, you know, is that really what happened? I'm not sure. But like, that was her interpretation of it. Like I said, I was just like looking to talk to anybody for any kind of information. Well, it feels good to talk about it. And it's really interesting because I, you know, even listening to, you know, I've listened to like 40 something of your shows so far. And there was one story, I mean, there's so many good ones, but there was one thing a guy said on your show that I really liked. That's the thing that's helpful, is because I'm listening to people that are going through similar experiences that have a lot of the same thoughts. Like your guest said, you know, I don't like referring, and I had the same exact thought as him, and I felt the same way, but he said, I don't like referring to my experiences as stories because that sounds like they're fictitious when you use the word story. And I had that very similar thought. I was like, I don't want to refer to like what happened to me as stories because it was like an actual experience. Like it happened, you know? But I really liked that he had said that, but that's what I think is helpful, you know, in listening to people that are going through this stuff too, is that they're like saying a lot of this thought that you have and you're like, oh, okay, cool. Like somebody else is experiencing that, thinking that too. And it's really helpful.
Exactly. That's what it's there for, you know. I really appreciate you coming on today, Ryan, and sharing all that.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate you having me on. It was really nice meeting you and talking to you.
That is all for this episode. If you've had an encounter that you would like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. You can also send your voice submissions there also, or you can reach me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com, and you can also connect with me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. A special thank you to Ryan and Woodrow for sharing their experiences, and thank you for listening. I will return next week with another witness encounter. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.